You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Welcome to the Radio Facts Radio Show podcast. This is Kevin Ross. It's been a long time, I know, since we've done a podcast, but hey, we're back and we're back on track. I'm going to try to keep it going this time. There's a lot that goes into doing a podcast, especially the production part, but I think the information is invaluable, so I make myself do it, and I'm going to put a staff together soon to help me out with it, but that's just the way it is right now. This first show, I think you're really going to enjoy, as I fight off a summer cold, forgive me. This first show we're really going to enjoy is because we have a special guest, Corey Coco Brother Cundry. Many of you know he was a wildly successful gospel syndicated host on Syndication One with many stations a couple of years ago. He walked away. Nobody knew why. You know, what happened? You know, people speculated, but nobody had the answer. Today, he's going to tell us why. He's going to tell us what he's been doing in the interim, and he's going to tell us what he's doing now that he's back. I think you'll find this interview very inspirational. You get a lot of information from it, and for the entrepreneurs, I think you'll really like it. So let me know what you think. If you have any questions, email me, kevin@radiofacts.com. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by radiofacts.com, your online information station.
Hey, Corey.
Kevin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not too much. I wanted to first of all, congratulate you on, you know, your return to the industry. And, you know, especially with your own business, which I was very interested in because as a 20-year entrepreneur myself, I'm always intrigued to see other African-Americans in the industry start their own business. So I wanted to kind of focus on that today, if that's okay.
Yeah, awesome. I would love to.
Okay. So tell me, you just kind of disappeared from the industry. What happened?
God happened, man. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. If you recall, years ago in hip hop, when I was in WHTA as the 6 to 10 guy Monday through Friday, Hot 107.9, I had that moment where God said, "This is it." And I remember at that time, Ryan Cameron became the morning man at V103, mm-hmm. and they were like, "Well, look, we don't want to lose our nighttime guy either. We just lost our morning man, DeVine." And then I said, "Well, let's do this. Give me Sunday mornings, you know? And if we can take this Sunday morning to the next level, syndicate it. That's mm-hmm. the deal." And so that's how we created the spirit of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. It was taking the spirit of Jesus to a hip-hop generation. The first rating book blew their minds. We went from being on Sunday mornings from 7 to 10 to 6 to 10. So they said, "Forget it, dude. We'll give you the whole morning." And then we was on from, you know, 6 to noon. Mm-hmm. As time went on, it got to the point they were loving it. I was loving it. And I never chased money. I always chased the vision. I'm never money-driven. I'm always vision-driven. And so with that being said, I had the vision to be a pre-morning show before the morning show. So then I said, "God, look, let me come on from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. If I show you that it works, let's keep doing it." And we had the biggest numbers in the whole entire city. We were beating V103, you know, on HTA in that one-hour time slot. So we were number one from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. on a hip-hop station. We were the pre-morning show before the morning show. And we gave them nothing but inspiration in a very relevant way. Mm-hmm. And when I say in a very relevant way, there's so many people, they don't want anything to do with Jesus now mm-hmm. because of what church has become, mm-hmm. you know? And I think what a lot of people miss is I used to be that guy as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just imagine breaking the Little John records, the T.I. records, the Ludacris records, and just on the air, but knowing that there's something deeper and bigger out there. But when you begin to look at church, you're just like, you don't see yourself. Mm-hmm. And then all you see is a lot of, you know, hypocritical things. And then God kept saying to me, "I'll use you the way that you are. And so I'm like, man, I'm drinking, smoking weed, mm-hmm. I'm partying. I throw the biggest parties. Mm-hmm. How are you going to use me? And I kid you not, it was the process. And through the process, I started seeing myself change. And I'll never forget one day, Jerry Smoking B, we went out. And he was the program director at the time. He's like, dude, you're changing. Like for real, for real. And I said, I know. You know, like, I'm evolving into something different, and God is really doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop there because there's more to the story about the transition that happened. Well, I'll tell you the story, what happened. I'm on the radio. I was in seminary school. I dropped out of seminary school because I was experiencing people faking the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I come from the streets. I can't do that. You know, like I'm good. And I told some pastors and bishops I was walking with, I said, guys, if I don't get out of this school, I don't want Jesus. I want to come to know Jesus for myself. I have to drop out if I'm going to stay the course. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, man, I started growing more and more into the faith. Now I'm interviewing 50 Cent, talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now I'm interviewing Diddy, talking about Jesus. Now I'm interviewing Rick Ross, talking about Jesus. You follow me? Mm-hmm. I'm with Big Boy from Outkast, talking about Jesus. I'm now doing songs with a popular mainstream artist about Jesus. David Banner and I, Rolling Tight, talking about the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. I never forget one day I'm on that radio, Little John calls up, mm-hmm. and he goes, he says, I wanna give my life to Christ. I said, John, are you playing? Are you serious? And to this day, I still have the recording mm-hmm. of it. And he says, no. I said, we can go through the sinner's prayer. It's cool. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, we do that. He hangs up. He calls me back, and he was just like, dude, I got like goosebumps when we were doing that prayer. And I was like, that's the Holy Spirit, John. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've seen in life is that people will get saved and they'll give their life to Jesus, but if their environment doesn't get saved, mm-hmm. if they don't come from among the crowd that they were once hanging with. And so for me, in my transitioning, I still loved on the crowd I was with, but I began to find myself transitioning and being more by myself. Does that make sense what I'm saying, Kev? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And so one day I'm on the radio, and this was my last day on HTA as a Monday through Friday 6 to 10 guy. Mm. This lady calls me. She's ready to commit suicide.
This is the one with the bad breath?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there, and I was doing this thing from a movie called Pay It Forward. It blessed me so much that I was like, I need to make this a feature on the radio. Forget paying it back. So people were sending letters mm-hmm. to us, and we would read the letters, and then we would bless them. And then once we blessed them, they would have to pay it forward and bless 2-3 other people. Mm-hmm. So this lady calls in, and she's just like, I sent you a letter a year ago. Never got a response. And then I remember reading the letter. So when she was telling me, you know, what was what, my heart just dropped for her because I thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a joke. She says, I'm in the Kroger's parking lot on Ponce de Leon in Atlanta downtown. Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. Kevin, when I was 15, 16, bruh, I tried to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who goes through that, I don't know why, but God brings them my way. Mm-hmm. A lot of our famous pastors and artists, so many night at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, I've talked them off the ledge. Mm-hmm. To the point, it's just like, let me keep going. Let me keep going with the story. So she does this. I said, do you have enough gas in your car to make it to the radio station? She says, yes, I can make it there. She says, but when I get there, that's probably it. I said, if you can make it here, we'll take care of you. because she was also living in her car. She was down to nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, so many different people that were doctors, owned dental offices, people who owned houses and homes. When she pulled up, there was a line wrapped around the whole building of cars waiting for her to get here. And they just gave her money, gave her a place to stay. That was my first altar call.
Mm-hmm.
And I it just happened. And then and that was the day after that, Jerry and I went out smoking B and we had that conversation. He was just like, dude, you're changing. He's like, you're here, but you're not here. You know, and it wasn't a bad conversation. It was a great conversation. And from that point, you remember Wayne Brown, you know, God bless his soul,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
My attorney and Wayne Brown is in the office and they're talking and negotiating my new contract. And not to digress from the story, but to give you more depth to the story. Every night when I used to get off the radio, I used to go to this spot called Cafe Nemesos.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drink my Long Island iced tea
mm-hmm.
and sit there and talk to Jesus, just like that, straight up. And I said, when you don't want me to drink the Long Island anymore, I'll stop. Mm-hmm. When you don't want me to do this anymore, I'll stop. I used to be a cat who, forget being a fornicator, I was a nympho. Forget being a hoe, I was a nympho.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have 4 or 5 chicks a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that process. It was a process. I kept saying, God, if you don't take it away, it won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ended up becoming celibate for 5, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't me who allowed myself to become celibate. It was him. It wasn't me that took away the marijuana and the alcohol. It was him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me that took away. It was him. And so what I'm getting to is the process. And so many hip-hop artists and so many people and our next-door neighbors and regular people, we don't celebrate people's process. We want them to get there all of a sudden and think that they're supposed to be where a T.D. Jakes is. No, it takes time. It's a process. And so back to the radio piece, I kept telling God when I would go to Cafe Nemesos, whenever you tell me when, that's when I'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me when. You tell me when. Kevin, let me tell you. Eventually, I started showing up at Cafe Nemesos, no longer getting Long Island. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through the process, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I made my process so open and truthful that I'm just like, because he says, if you're going to worship me in spirit and truth. So I'm like, look, I don't have anything to hide. You see it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for you know it, he takes that away. And he keeps growing me. And then all of a sudden, he answers my prayer. Wayne Brown and my attorney went to take a 10-minute break. In that 10-minute break, they got out of the conference room. A sales rep walks into that room out of nowhere. And he says, thus says the Lord, today's the day that you resign. Today's the day that you do this, and I will give it all back to you and then some. Syndication and being a nighttime syndicated host was always in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I know God's voice. And that was the guy, wasn't the man talking. God just used him. When they came back in to talk to me about the contract, I told them, I said, how about this? When you no longer want something, people want to give you everything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there now, and I'm watching the numbers fly, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty doggone good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty great. And I'm sitting there like, man. And so from that point, I said, God, stop it. I'm not going to be signing. I'm going to go and run after Jesus for real.
Mm-hmm.
And at that very moment, both of them embraced it. Wayne got Mary Catherine involved. You know the other end of the story, how the spirit of hip-hop became. And Gary Bernstein with Super Radio, he got to a part where he put a contract on the table to syndicate us.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't with Alfred at the time, or Radio 1, or Reach.
Mm-hmm.
He was Super Radio. A couple other syndicators, you know, put some deals on the table. And Alfred found out. Alfred said, if you sign with them, you won't be on any of my stations. That's Alfred. The deal was that you guys would syndicate the show if it would produce the numbers and the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, I want to be very clear. I own 100% of my show, The Spirit of Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. I sold my own inventory.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Mm-hmm. I made more money, Kevin.
Of course.
Being on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
one day out of the week, in 2 months, I had made more money than I made with my own salary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it got to the point, the very next day, I kid you not, Alfred got on the plane, came to Atlanta, put a contract in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
We syndicate on hip-hop stations all across the country, the spirit of hip-hop. We did the 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. show. It blew up. And then the gospel station in Atlanta came to me and said, hey, we want to put you on praise. I said, look, guys, I don't want a job.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is the deal. Here's the deal. I do this for this amount of months. If it works, you got to syndicate it at night. Deal? Deal. All right. Did it. Took it through the roof. We were competing. We were right neck and neck at night on an inspiration show with V103.
Mm-hmm.
We're neck and neck on an inspiration station. On an inspiration station with V103 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And V was the biggest. So here's the story. This is how God gets the glory. I now find myself back on at night. Not only am I on at night, we did what everybody said that we couldn't do. They do not syndicate urban nighttime radio.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first ever urban nighttime syndicated show, and we did it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the work. Mm-hmm. I remember when Gary Bernstein left Super Radio, and it was just him and I. Him and I was jumping on planes going up to New York, seeing Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just him and I working the show.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I was going up to Dial Global. It wasn't a Yolanda Adams. It wasn't a Reverend Al or anybody else. It wasn't even a Reach Media.
Mm-hmm.
Radio One wasn't a partner with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
go ahead.
Now we get to the nighttime show, and we're doing it. And that same voice—that's it. It's funny. You know why I'm giving you this exclusive in detail is because in 2 years of being out of radio, I watched you. I watched you, man, break exclusive after exclusive. I watch you give the raw and the real. I like the fact when, if you don't like something, you voice your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's real. He. So, before I give it to anybody else, the detail of my life, I'd rather give it to you because I know what you can do with it.
Well,
that same voice,
mm-hmm.
that same voice, man, that same voice I heard again at 11 o'clock. We purchased the 200-acre faith farm. It's a 200-acre piece of property. I developed it a couple million dollars later into what we call the faith farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the radio while I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there. I'm at the farm. And at 11 o'clock, I hear God say, today's the day you're going to resign. I said, well, huh? He said, today's the day you're going to resign. I said, okay. And I go upstairs and I tell my wife, I said, honey, God told me to resign from the radio. He says, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep chasing after Jesus. He told me to build this foundation so that youth around the world can have a strong foundation. He told me to focus on the faith farm. And he said, give it to him, and he'll give it back even bigger than what I can ever have imagined. He said, just give it to him and trust him. I said, Joanne, I did this before in hip-hop. I said, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't walk away from it all. I was at the top of our game in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
We was at the top of our game in the inspirational piece. And he said, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, watch this, Kev, since this is an exclusive. Because no one knows the real, real deep truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
I call my attorney. She's in court. She's also my executive assistant, my attorney.
Mm-hmm.
She's in court. Another person I was working with at the time was Bruce Stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the letter, and I just did what God told me to do. Forget trying to get them to proof of the letter. Forget anybody trying to talk me out of it. I put everybody on it. That was part of the Radio One chain and the non-Radio One chain for one reason. Because I wanted to thank everybody And I wasn't going to let anything take me away from what God told me to do. Mm-hmm. He told me to do it. And I learned that if I obey him, he'll honor me. He'll lift me up for his glory. That's been my process. We talked about the process, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the process in the interview. The process, Kevin, is what allows you to create a relationship and not religion. Mm-hmm. I'm not into religion. Mm-hmm. I'm into the relationship that I have with our Father in heaven, and the process has gotten me there. At that moment, man, I started texting some of the artists saying, hey, guys, I just resigned. I titled it. It's been great. I honored everybody in the email. I loved on everybody in the email. Didn't have one negative thing to say. And at that very moment, I put everything on the altar, and I said, all right, God, then you be God. And then he said this to me. He said, now watch me give it back to you, but bigger, mm-hmm. in a bigger way. And so here we are today, mm-hmm. 2 years later. Let me be even more honest with you. I was trying to come back a year later. mm-hmm. And God didn't let me do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to come back, man. And I'm like, God, and everything kept, from a spiritual perspective, kept stopping me. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm trying to push forward. And I'm just like, man. But in that time, we ended up getting a 17,000 square foot building. And I created the Kanji Evangelistic Association Training Center. You know, and churches and people who's trying to start up churches, they were able to come and rent out the building. My wife, I helped her start her ministry, which is doing extremely well. It's called Rain Fire, mm-hmm. you know, and it's very diverse, which I believe that's what the kingdom is supposed to look like, you know, not just black people, but it should be everybody. And so from an entrepreneur perspective, we opened up this training center. We're soon to open up 5 more around the world. Mm-hmm. I've been able to develop the faith farm. Mm-hmm. I've been able to do a lot of faith-based things behind the scene. And so now we own a national syndicated radio network that will be releasing inspirational content on not just gospel or hip hop stations, but soon I will be releasing my country talent. Mm-hmm. So I have we're going to be on country radio stations. We're going to be on CCM radio stations. So we're not just going only after the urban community. We're going after everybody, and we're saying, hey guys, we're going to give the whole entire world inspiration. Mm-hmm. That's the story, Kev. Mm-hmm. No one has heard that story. You follow me?
Right.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
And I have a couple of questions for you. I think your story is very interesting. But two things I want to ask is, well, two points that you made is our faith is paramount to having success. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Whatever kind of faith it is, you definitely have to have faith. And passion, and you have to listen to yourself. Why do you think so many people in radio today, especially urban radio, don't have the ability to do that? That so many people are sitting back and waiting for other people to make the decisions for them, or they may jump at the first offer that somebody's going to give them versus trying to negotiate. As you mentioned earlier, you know, when you don't want something, you know, that's what everybody wants you. I like to equate that to the universe likes what's moving.
I think we both know why. Mm-hmm. Number one, they're afraid, mm-hmm. you know, they're afraid. They're afraid if they step out, what if they fail? Mm-hmm. And not realizing that the first part of succeeding is failing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you fall, you get back up and you perfect it, but mm-hmm. they're afraid. Some people have a mentality of, I don't want the responsibility of going to sleep, having to wake up and keep carrying the load of the business. Mm-hmm. When you work for someone, you now, all you have to do is just go serve them and serve them well. And if they're happy with your performance, then they'll keep you around.
Right.
But this is the part about it. But you talked about our festival in the article, and thank you so much for doing that for us, just overall, putting the content out there about what we're doing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You talked about the festival. Watch this. They got to know their worth, and they got to know their value.
Mm-hmm.
Not one hip-hop artist or any artist in Atlanta can say that they packed out the Georgia Dome. We've done the Georgia Dome 2 years straight, packed it out, and I'm getting ready to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. It takes a certain level of business, number one, to do that. But watch this. We did a deal with Radio One that, look, guys, you can sell to sponsors this event only the last 30 days, mm-hmm. both years straight. They ended up making over $200K.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the stress of the event.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to carry anything. All they had to do was just sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you sit back and watch them, half of the personalities now don't even make $200K.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They don't even make $200,000. Mm-hmm. So when I'm making you off of a NTR event, mm-hmm. a non-traditional revenue event, $200,000,
mm-hmm.
plus dollars, you got to know your worth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they don't calculate their value,
mm-hmm.
and I think that they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that bothers me more than anything, Kev, is what are you going to do, man, 20 years from today?
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Eventually, they're going to let you go, not, unless you own it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this interview Dame Dash did with the Breakfast Club.
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
He said one thing. He
mm-hmm.
said to Envy. He said, Envy, do you own it? Can your son come up here and get? He says, yeah, I own it. He says, no, I own share. I own stock in it.
Mm-hmm.
Owning stock in it doesn't mean that you own it.
Exactly.
Can your kids mm-hmm. come up here today and you give them a job? And the answer is no. Well, mm-hmm. how about this? I can give my daughters right now, my two daughters, they're 3 and 5. When they get old enough, I can give them a job at any given moment. They mm-hmm. can have a job right now,
mm-hmm.
actually. They can start radio right now at 3 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because we own it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people are afraid to answer your question. I think they're afraid to step out and be entrepreneurs. But like I told Miss Hughes, talked to Miss Hughes the other day. She sent me a text
mm-hmm.
and she says, man, congratulations on everything that's going on. And I'm so proud of you
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy for you. But Miss Hughes stepped out. If she never stepped out and then created the WOL, all these people wouldn't have jobs today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people can have their own thoughts and their own theories about Radio One or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or even with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
If Tom never stepped out and him and David Cantor never came together, how would Tom be doing what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing. You got to be willing to take the risk.
Mm-hmm. And you know what
else?
As entrepreneurs, we also have to be willing to meet people where they are. I met Tom for the first time. I went to his, he invited me to come on his cruise in April. And I had never met Tom. And I had said some things about him in the blog that weren't favorable because I was very pro local morning radio.
Mm-hmm.
Very pro, you know, trying to basically save the industry and direct, you know, the underdog in directions where they could get some recognition, understanding, and profit and understand their leverage. And what I come to learn eventually is that you can, you know, like the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. This became, it exhausted me after a while, trying to convince people that you can, you know, look at your numbers, you know, don't just accept the first offer. You know, do a podcast, you know, expand your brand. It's like do social networking. I just got exhausted. And I thought that, you know, ultimately we lead by example. So, and it's a lot less exhausting and it doesn't allow us to be in the same position. If I keep trying to show you how to do something that you don't want to do, then it's going to pull my energy from doing it myself.
Right.
So
right.
I decided that, you know, from this point on, I'd rather interview people like you and, you know, other successful people in the industry to talk about what they're doing than for me to constantly drain myself and trying to tell people, you know, what they should be doing. Because from this perspective,
I see a lot of older, especially older radio people who are still waiting for a break, you know, mm-hmm. who never got it, who never exercised their leverage, who never took advantage of their youth, who never, you know, saw, you know, greater than other people saw for them, you know, who were limited. And I think in media, you almost have to be somewhat of an entrepreneur, especially if you're a broadcaster. You can, if you wait for other people to create your direction, then, you know, you will probably end up like a lot of other people. I know people who drive cabs. I know people who, you know, babysit. I mean, they do whatever they can to make ends meet. And there's nothing worse than seeing somebody in their 40s or 50s who, you know, at one time was very successful to be struggling and not have anything to show for it.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Let me say this, though, mm-hmm. to you, man. But you have a responsibility to the radio community. I'm 37. Mm-hmm. I started radio when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I've been doing radio for 20 years. I've worked every aspect of it. I've worked production, producing. I've run other people's boards, shows. I've interned. I've done sales. I've been partners with people in radio. I've done syndication. I've done local talent, national talent. I've done every aspect of it. And you're right. You don't want to get into your later years, your latter years. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look up at 50 and find myself doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd rather start at 37, and when I'm 50, we would have built something. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to take the risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. See, people ain't going to say how hard it can get at times. I've had a hard moment. Mm-hmm. I've had moments, man, where I'm like, God, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Nah. You told me to do this, man. Mm-hmm. God, you told me to do this. And I'm sitting back now like I got bills to pay. Mm-hmm. I got stuff going. And sometimes it feels like all hell can break out. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting back like, no, God, don't get me wrong. I've had my moments where I've cried. I had my moments where I felt the hurt and the pain. And I'm just like, God, you got to do something. And well, watch this. That's where I grew in the faith even more, because God will always show up. Mm-hmm. And so in regards to Tom, and even like yourself, you have a responsibility, and I believe you're doing it. But I would say this to you, don't stop talking to the ones who don't get it, because ministry doesn't count until you're able to minister to broken people. So if everybody was doing well and everything was great, then heck, you don't even need ministry. No, ministry involves people. So to that person who's broke, to that person, broke doesn't mean what's in your bank account. Broke can be a poor mentality. Mm-hmm. Follow me? Mm-hmm. And so with yourself, I get excited about you in your teaching. I remember your first podcast. Mm-hmm. I remember your first podcast. Mm-hmm. I remember certain interviews and announcements. Like I remember a Lorenzo Iced Tea moment. You mm-hmm. follow me? Mm-hmm. When Lorenzo stepped out, I remember you covered that. Mm-hmm. If you stop doing what you do, you don't. You blessed me in those last 2 years mm-hmm. of me sitting back saying, "I'm gonna pause for a second. I'm gonna get stronger. I'm gonna become an entrepreneur. I'm gonna grow this thing. I'm gonna take the risk." But along the way, and you know, and I know, we didn't talk not one time. Mm-hmm. Along the way, I didn't miss an email from you every day.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and
go check your e-blast and look up under my email, and you'll see I opened up every single one of your emails. And guess what you were doing?
And you know, I really appreciate that, because I tell you, and I haven't revealed this in the, and I'm pretty honest for the most part in the blog, I haven't revealed this, but I have not felt what's the word I want to use? I have not felt appreciated. You know, and that's not to say that I think I'm above, you know, anybody else in the industry, but I'm saying that I have risked my radio career. I have said things that other people won't say. I have done things that other people won't do, and I'm not looking for reward. But a lot of times I think that we're so silent, you know, we sit back and people do get something out of it. That's why I really appreciate what you're saying. They get something out of it, but they don't say anything. And I think we should always tell people, you know, when we appreciate what they do, just like I called you today for this interview, we should show our support for each other. Unfortunately, we don't do a lot of that. And when I said I was going to stop teaching, it's not that I'm going to stop teaching, but I'm going to stop doing it the way I was doing it because I found that that was draining me. So I figure if I can get people like you on the phone to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur and what it's like to run your own companies and your own business and to take advantage of your leverage, perhaps they'll listen that way. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done it for a long time, and I'm telling you, when you are a one-man army, it gets very exhausting.
Right.
It gets very exhausting.
You know, let me be the first and watch so many more. And everybody that's listening to this interview right now, I want you to reach out to Kevin and not only love on him, but tell him with your own words. I don't care if it's an email. I don't care what it is. Tell him how you've been not only entertained, but educated. There's a lot of things I didn't know. If I never got the email from you, I'm sitting back like, if I'm not mistaken, I think I even got the Breakfast Club. Remember, I was just talking about the bread. That came from everything I know about what happened in radio in 2 years. It was because of you.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
I appreciate it. And I want to also comment on something else you said. Thank you for saying that. And whether or not people actually respond, it's fine. I mean, that's on them because I have made another decision, you know, in the process. And that is that I am eliminating fear.
Mm-hmm. And but the Bible says that he didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you a sound mind, you know. I didn't know. I agree with you. I agree with you because what happened to me was this. When I left radio,
mm-hmm.
I used to feel the same way you feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can identify with that feeling of not feeling appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
When I left radio, no matter where my wife and I would go, mm-hmm. no matter where we would go, people would come up to either, if at a restaurant, they'll come up to the table. If I'm just out and about, and they'll say, "We miss you on the radio."
Mm-hmm.
You used to inspire us so much.
Mm-hmm.
Please get back on that radio. Please. Then I started to feel for the first time the appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people don't appreciate something after it's gone.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
trust me.
And the irony of it is that I have thought about leaving. I mean, I've been offered to sell Radio Facts several times. And, you know, I thought, well, if I leave, you know, who's going to be bold enough to, you know, to address the things that need to be addressed. And then I thought, well, maybe somebody else will come along. You know, so all this stuff, all these thoughts have gone through my mind. And, you know, when you keep giving and you don't feel like it's reciprocal in any sense. And I'm not saying that you're necessarily looking for that, but you're not getting fed. When you're feeding but not being fed, you get exhausted.
Kev, I know how you feel about religion. I've read enough stuff on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know how you feel about, you know, everything out there. And I'm not here to talk about that right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. You're talking to a guy that's been in the streets just mm-hmm. like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
On top in hip hop. I got to the point I said, either this thing is real or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And if the faith is real, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's not real in the faith, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have fear because I went through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Man, see, people won't tell you about when I got beat up by the Christians because I'm talking to Ludacris on Sunday morning about his faith.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. Ludacris goes... It ends up doing the song,
mm-hmm.
talking about God.
Mm-hmm.
but you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you step out,
mm-hmm.
and to the ones who are listening to us, who want to be entrepreneurs, when you step out and you believe in your conviction,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's going to be hard. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right.
Yeah, you're gonna have tough moments where you're gonna want to throw the towel, and it's been plenty of days, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm done. I want to just quit.
Mm-hmm.
But then once again, when you're rooted in what you're rooted in, that then pushes you forward. Like I'm not rooted. Like my dreams, Kevin, is not to be a billion-dollar company.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. I'll become a billion-dollar company because I'm not chasing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm chasing billion-dollar vision.
Right. Right. Yeah, when you think about money, ultimately, you're going to fail. If you're going into any business and you're saying, I'm doing it to make money, you may have it for a second, but ultimately it's going to fail. You have to do it based on passion and faith. I also want to make another statement. I want to talk about, you mentioned that you know how I feel about religion, and maybe I haven't been extremely clear on that. I want to make sure that everybody understands. I do not believe in the church, and I don't believe in religion. I definitely believe in higher power. And I have been to the church, and I have seen miracles happen. I've seen miracles in my life happen. So I definitely know there is power in worship. There's power in connecting to other people, you know. But I find that in my experiences, Christians, and I'm being very general about this, they tend to be very elitist and judgmental. And I don't see the love coming from that community that they profess. I do not believe that any man or woman can speak for my higher power. I think I'm very in tune with who my higher power is. So I can't honor someone on earth telling me about who I am or the messages that I get directly. I can support it, but I don't follow it in a sense that, you know, I have to do everything you say, or I have to follow what you say. I go by my own messages. So I'm not totally against the concept, but I don't like pomp and circumstance.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
I find that, you know, sometimes a spiritual connection of any kind is valuable. So even if you don't have if you're not a church person, or if you don't believe in religion, you have to find a way to connect to yourself spiritually. And so I do it through meditation mostly. And I'm telling you, I even see miracles happen through that. So I respect what you do. And I respect what anybody else does. I really respect what you do because of the fact that you've come a long way, you know. And I've watched, like you watched me, I've watched you over the years. And when I went to your event, I was really blown away because I'm one of those people, just like I wrote in the article, I'm one of those people that listened to the media and was under the impression, I'm talking about commercial media, under the impression that all black kids were bad. I mean, even I thought that, you know, that they were headed in a very negative direction, that they all, you know, didn't respect adults. And when I went to that event, I was absolutely blown away. I have never seen black teenagers act like that ever.
I think that there's a lot of kids, youth and young adults, who are on fire, you know, for Jesus. I believe in the Bible. Period. And I had to come to the conclusion, either I believe all of it or none of it. And that was my conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to God, but how am I supposed to believe this in the Bible? And then he said, it's by faith. And so either you believe it or you don't, Corey. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And you know what? I love what you said. And you're right. Because of the religious people in the church, it makes people like yourself say, man, y'all don't look like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't love like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, he didn't like religious people either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when Jesus came, he's turning over tables. You know, the religious people trying to kill him. I mean, look at our pastors in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one particular pastor. I won't say his name, though, but we know who he is. It was a huge. And when he fell short, now one person came to show the love of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
period. It doesn't matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
We was born into the world as sinners,
mm-hmm.
and we're saved by grace. The
mm-hmm.
Bible says where sin abounds, there's much more grace. Mm-hmm. And then it says, you would know that this person right here is my disciple by the way that they what?
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's take our last week's show. I had Diddy on our last week's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diddy says this to me. He says, and this was a previous interview I did with Diddy that was exclusive. So I said, you know what? It's a perfect time to air it. So I put it on our show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Diddy goes, I'm into God. I'm not into religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm like, I'm with you. You know what I mean? Like I believe the only way to the Father is through his son, Jesus. I believe that what the Bible says, that our Father in heaven wants a relationship with us. And so I don't have to go through a pastor mm-hmm. or a priest mm-hmm. to have a relationship with God, mm-hmm. because that's why he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, so that I can have that. And I love what the things that Diddy was saying, that the way that you love God, he said, is in your heart, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. you know? And the whole time Diddy's talking, guess where I'm at, Kev? Mm-hmm. I'm in a place of, I understand the process. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. But most Christians will act like they've always been where they are. Mm-hmm. So then they become very judgmental. But for myself, I'm like, listen in. I'm like, I understand the what? Mm-hmm. The process. 2 weeks ago, I had Rick Ross on our show, right? Mm-hmm. And Rick Ross talks about how he was riding down the street with one of his homeboys, and he was listening to a Creflo Dollar CD. Mm-hmm. And he said that message that he was speaking on about speaking things into existence kept replaying in his mind. Mm-hmm. And it helped him so much. It's called the power of the gospel. But the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. You just said something to me that I'm just like, Kev, you preach and don't even know it, talking about how fear will kill you. Because mm-hmm. God, he didn't give us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. We're lions. We're gladiators in the faith. And whatever we speak, it'll happen. So the enemy comes to try to put fear in us. Mm-hmm. And once fear set in, man, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It stops you from living. It literally stops you from living and progressing and having the things that you deserve, not just that you want, but the things that you deserve in your life. And I agree with one of my favorite preachers is T.D. Jakes. And I don't always agree with everything he says, but I love the fact that he combines motivation into his messages. And he says some really great things that you can glean a lot of, you know, a lot of positivity from. I have one for what I consult some other entrepreneurs on a regular basis. And I consult this one guy who he owns a shop that does supplements, weight supplements. And he was saying that he likes T.D. Jakes, but the minute he starts talking about God, he gets turned off. And I said, you know, I think you take what you can and you leave the rest, you know, or at least research it, you know, or if you have a question about it, you know, just ask the question, but don't lose the whole message because, you know, he says that, that's what he does. And I think he does it very well. I think he's probably one of the only ministers who does it that well.
He's very anointed.
Right.
He's very anointed.
Yeah.
He's very anointed to do what he's called to do. Pastor Paula White and T.D. Jakes are very, very close. My wife and I have a phenomenal relationship mm-hmm. with Pastor Paula White. It's funny, you talk about podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I started when I first left, and it's funny that, because your whole thing is Podbean as well, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember when I first left, I started my podcast. I think the first week I had like 30,000 hits, right? Mm-hmm. And what I didn't know, like, Then I sat back. I said, you know what? I hear you, God. God said, you need to get quiet for a second. And so I got quiet and I stopped uploading stuff. And over time, it deleted it. Mm-hmm. And so just recently, just now, I just started back, mm-hmm. right? And so now people are starting to find out that I'm starting to post things again. I haven't been pushing it too hard. All of that to say this about Paula White. Today, I just posted an exclusive interview with her mm-hmm. that she gave to us. Nobody in the world has this interview. She's talking about her getting married. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And being married. And the fact that a T.D. Jakes, you know, was at her wedding, you know, to support her. It's great to see men in the faith support other pastors and leaders in the faith the way that he does. But everybody's not going to like every preacher or every pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's some pastors, like even for me, when they preach, I don't feel the anointing. I don't feel a connection.
Right.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
It's sometimes it can just be words, but it's like There's no anointing there.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Now that you're back, you have how many stations so far?
14. We're getting ready to make a big announcement. I don't know if it's going to be this week or next week, but we just signed four more on to us. Actually, five. I'm excited about it.
So why this time you're doing it a bit different? You're not signing with a company, even though you said you've always owned a majority of your show.
When we first started out, we owned the Spirit of Hip Hop. We were on HTA Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We sold commercial units, and that was pretty much that was the deal. And when it was time to restructure the deal, they asked that we give the inventory back, and they give us a big salary. You mm-hmm. follow me?
Right.
Because we were doing a different syndication deal.
Mm-hmm.
My syndication deal looked like this. We'll split half of the proceeds what comes in.
Okay.
So then I became a partner. So I went from owning the Spirit of Hip Hop to then when we created Coco Brother Live, doing a split. And so they pay out quarterly,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so depending on what was sold in inventory, mm-hmm. and that's what you would actually split.
Okay.
And so, you know, that was my deal in that situation, mm-hmm. you know.
And now
I've always felt like I could sell my show better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's your show.
Yeah, and I know mm-hmm. my brand.
Right.
And not only do I understand and know my brand, the first aspect of our brand is I want to provide amazing content to build PPM numbers to every programmer and to every radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to supply local radio, because national is nothing but a whole bunch of local.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to be able to supply these local stations with amazing NTR events, amazing content as well.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't get anywhere else, and I want to be able to bring it to them, and then they can also sell it. The same thing Radio 1 did in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. We're going to be able to do this for so many other stations and help get their bottom line number up, and that's what we want to do. We're here now to do business. It's great to do great radio. We're going to do that,
mm-hmm.
but we want to be able to do great business in this season. As a matter of fact, this weekend at the Faith Farm, I got Wes Morgan, Kevin LaVar and Ernest Pugh and a whole bunch of other artists and celebrities coming for camp. And so we're going to have camp Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be awesome at this camp. And it's free. If you notice, everything we do too, Kev, you know, if you don't mind me saying this, we do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Who does the Georgia Dome? Who does stadiums and arenas? Or no matter what event that we're doing, it's always free. So we're having people come to camp for 3 days. We're taking care of everything, the mm-hmm. food, I mean, everything. It's free. And so we're shooting television for this network this weekend. And so I'm excited to be doing this. Yeah.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.